any company that doesn't have a purpose to their company beyond a product or a service is going to fall behind.
I'm John Lewis, and you're listening to 360 Degree City, a podcast where we talk to all kinds of folks that are making life in cities better. Our hope is at the end of each episode, you'll start to see your own city from a slightly different angle. I've always been intrigued by companies that run a successful business while also giving back in a meaningful way. I think that business can be a really powerful force for good in the world when driven by a purpose beyond just profit. It's a challenge we've set for ourselves at Intelligent Futures. When we talk about cities, developers are often the only businesses that get discussed. But how can other companies contribute to a city? To explore this question, I wanted to talk to someone that's helped spearhead a purpose-driven business with community at the heart of the operation.
Jim Button from Village Brewery, one of the guys that co-founded the first new brewery in Calgary in 15 years.
In this episode, Jim and I talk about the importance of finding purpose, Calgary's changing culture and community, and how pubs and breweries can catalyze a community. Village Brewery opened in Calgary 7 years ago, and they've been brewing great beer and building community ever since. Since day one, 10% of the company's bottom line has gone towards supporting Calgary's arts and community. And as a committed podcast host, I may have tested Jim's delicious beers in preparation for our conversation. I'm just that committed. Let's dive in.
We decided we were going to do it as a purpose-driven company and very community-driven. Mm-hmm. We knew that beer, from all of our experience, we knew that we could get people to do shit by just giving them beer. Mm. Because beer meant more than just, here's $21.87 plus deposit.
Yep.
This is actually a meaningful statement. We're getting together, we're gonna work on something together, we're gonna be pals, we're gonna, you know, chat, communicate. And we knew it was a currency, and we knew it was a social lubricant, that the combination of those two were quite powerful. Mm-hmm. That if you could actually take something that brought people together and acted as a currency, you could actually make stuff happen. So when we started, we knew right from the beginning that it was going to be a purpose-driven, build a better community. And at that time, it was just meant for Calgary, but
okay,
that kind of blew up.
And so that idea of the social lubricant as a way to progress some of the bigger impacts you'd like to see in the community was intentional right from the get-go.
100% intentional.
Okay.
And it's, to be honest, it's the hard way to do it.
Sure.
It was not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. You know, simple things like, simple to say, not simple to financially do, but 10% of your bottom line is a significant number. Mm-hmm. When it was just, let's say, Tom and I doing all the community-driven activities, whether it's festivals or sponsoring artists, hosting all the meetings with economic development, tourism Calgary, giving civically minded inputs as successful businessmen, that was a lot of hours and
right.
a lot of time. And we ended up, that first year, we did 400 different events and activities just between two guys, while still trying to do distribution and open up and do and be.
Run the thing.
So it was a very, it's the hard way to do it, but it's certainly deeper, more meaningful, and mm-hmm. it allows others to say, that's a great story, that's a great belief system, I buy into it. So in the long run, it's beneficial.
Yeah.
But while you're doing it, you're going, ugh, carrying this 2-4 up these stairs into this little thing. I remember being at a festival. Well, not even a festival. It was down at down in Inglewood in an old schoolhouse called The Area.
Right.
And I said, I'll support this. I went there, and they didn't have enough glassware. They said they had glassware, and I brought glassware. And ended up working in the dishwasher. I washed dishes for 3 hours to make sure that everybody had glasses for the
Is
party.
That right?
And that's the stuff you. But I was smiling the whole time I did it.
Yeah.
People kept coming saying, "Well, why are you doing the? You don't you own the brewery? Why are you? You know?" And I'm going, "No. This is.
Yeah.
I am happier than that.
This is one part of this big purpose. That's
absolutely.
Yeah. Village cares about supporting the arts and community, but it doesn't stop there. They've helped develop a thriving beer industry in Alberta. Back when they began, there weren't many local craft breweries in the city, and today you might get overwhelmed by the options. Sours, stouts, ciders, IPAs, lagers, you name it, and a list of Calgary craft breweries probably have it. A great thing about the industry is how supportive they are of each other, and it's without a doubt that Village helps set that collaborative tone.
We've got a lot of brewers, and when they leave us, we're not, it's not a, it's a sad moment because we enjoy having them around, but it's not a bitter moment because they're going to create right. competition. It's right. great.
Right.
We're building an industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We were at the Alberta Small Brewers Awards, and I'd just gotten out of the hospital and I went straight there. I was told I had to go and I was there. And one of my partners, Rob, leans over to me. He says, "Remember when we had that meeting where we said we needed to start an association because there's going to be a bunch of breweries following behind us? We need to have a collective voice. Remember when we made the decision to invest and get that going?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Look around. There's 750 people in this room." And it all started from a meeting that we had where we all talked about the importance of actually having a collective voice because the right. you know, the government needs to hear mm-hmm. what it's like to be a small brewer.
Yeah, for sure. And you had, I think I saw something around that time where you were encouraging all those folks to, is it, use their beer for good.
Yeah.
So absolutely. so the ability, so that was a core part of Village, but to
and I know
expand
if,
that
if
ethos.
If I could sit down with each one of them and explain to them how powerful and valuable that was to their own business, I would. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I was on the stage that night, that was my message was, you've got something here. Use it for good. You guys, we are building community mm-hmm. collectively. We're building a province. You know, people come here and you know the experience. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. But my experience when I go to another city is, what's the local fare?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And you talk to the bartender and yeah. tell me about it and tell me about their story. That's so important. And the more brewers understand that, mm-hmm. the more powerful
yeah.
it will be.
Yeah, and so with that in mind, you had mentioned the 10%. Can you explain what that means and some of the things that 10% has gone into? I know we'd be here for 3 hours if you listed all of it, but yeah, what are some of the highlights of that?
I bet you over the 6 years, I'm going to make a guess in my head right now, probably about, well, 1,500 simple, 1,500 to 2,000 different events, festivals, artists, associations have benefited from our involvement.
Wow.
Now, our involvement range from cash to beer to support to housing them at the brewery to doing collaborative marketing initiatives. And they range from, you know, pure community-driven arts and community mm-hmm. and culture events to supporting the industry. You know, mm-hmm. beers like the Village Friend, where all the proceeds from that beer go back to the small brewery that's just started up, where we make a beer with them.
Oh, okay.
We train yeah. them on the importance of having a lab, making beer at a brewery such as ours, the experience we have. So we make that beer with them. We then sell that beer with their brand all over it, opening them up to distribution to places like Calgary Co-op, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the beer is sold, all the profit goes back to them with the purpose that they hopefully buy something like lab equipment, because the better their beer is, the better the experience for all people coming to the province or city mm-hmm. and or community, and the better chance that they'll say, wow, this is great beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made here.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the story of those people. That's the impact that we like to have. You know, so
right.
starting
right.
and helping the industry is just as important to us as supporting the community and the arts and cultural mm-hmm. in specific. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's pretty forward thinking in terms of developing an industry as one business gets underway. And so the social, and you mentioned the civic minded nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see businesses generically lacking in terms of their civic contributions and their community contributions, how can they address that? I know you're sort of role modeling all of that, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I have big thoughts on that. You know, I my belief, and having, you know, I've been paying attention to this deeply since 97. So what's that, 21 years, where I've been reading things like the Cohen Report, which is a quasi-sponsorship and community investment research document that's been around for a long time, and it talks about the, you know, two things being equal, two products being equal, which one would you choose, you know. And so knowing that two things being equal, you're going to choose the one that has an affinity towards your belief system and or is doing something socially conscious or making an impact in your neighborhood. And so my belief, having watched this for so long and been involved heavily in it, is with the democratization that the internet has allowed, the two things being equal is very easy to understand. And, you know, the transparency that the world has had to undergo has really made it difficult to, for those that are not being socially conscious or having a belief system at the forefront of their company, are the ones that are going to falter. I truly believe those companies that don't, you know, those private enterprises that don't act as a social enterprise are going to falter, because the two things being equal are easy to discover now. And there are so many products, like-minded products out there, that you might as well pick the one that has the belief system, because the two things being equal are so equal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for
product, price, all that type of stuff. It's just all, it's all moving into the middle. So you have to have a point of differentiation. And that point of differentiation, which I believe is going to be the most important one going forward, is going to be a private enterprise acting like a social enterprise.
Right. I spent some time with some folks at IDEO in San Francisco, and, and their organizational folks. One of the guys said he thinks that too many companies are cold, mean, and stupid.
Well, it's so true.
That's the, and you the other path that you're...
It absolutely could be that. I remember being at a conference this maybe 10 years ago, and the keynote speaker, who's a friend of mine, and a very progressive, forward-thinking businessman here in town. And he says, my job as the owner of the company is to put all my competitors out of business, right? And that's the belief system that was the predecessor to private enterprise acting as social enterprise. So I stood up and I said, I disagree. And we had this embarrassing argument in front of 300 people. And he and I have had that conversation since then. And I believe he understands the other side a little bit better now, because a lot of his competitors are gone. And it's very difficult for people to see this community, this city, as a place that you come for his business.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, what's happened? What's changed? Alberta is known, Calgary is known for its energy. And we've just gone through a downturn. I've been on stage and I've been booed on stage for saying this is the best thing that could happen to us, because we need to diversify.
Yeah.
Actually, not even diversify is the wrong word. We need to expand our business base. And we need to pay attention to picking some categories that allow us to have a sense of place and allow us to be understood as being that thing other than just energy. You know, we've got so many, we're such a progressive, forward-looking, young, educated city with mountains and rivers, and we've got so much to offer, that because we haven't paid attention to picking some really interesting categories and expanding them, we haven't had the benefit, the real benefit, and we've just ridden this cyclical wave that hurts us and benefits few.
yeah, for sure.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. It benefits a lot, because those companies are foundational and they have supported a lot of community initiatives, but you tend to believe that they did it more out of necessity than belief system.
So yeah, and I think that people, you know, to your earlier point, people can, they can understand when, you know, there's a community act, the intention behind it. They can see that.
They can sniff it.
Yeah.
That's that back to that democratization of the internet. You can sniff out whether this is just a marketing, a greasy marketing layer on top of a balance sheet.
Yeah, something we could put in our annual report.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. And so it's interesting you mentioned categories that create sense of place. And I read a quote of yours that's, since you moved to Calgary in 93, you've been trying to build the city and change the perception of what you know it to be. And it's all about building better communities. So are there other categories or industries beyond beer that you think can really contribute to a sense of place? Because as you know, as a trained planner, we talk about urban design kinds of things, but obviously there's so much more to it than that. What are some other businesses and industries that you think can be fostered to help grow a sense of place?
That's a tough question. Going back to 93, when I first moved here, and I remember feeling that all that stereotype, everything I was told, a bunch of old white guys, cowboys, and energy guys, that's what the city was. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming here going, oh, but they're friendly, so I'll stay here. But it was that, and it felt like that.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, I am also at Evans Hunt, and I've gotten the opportunity to look at a lot of research through economic development and tourism and all the different organizations we do work for. And I know through that research that people that have lived here a long time or people that live in the suburbs think we have a very boring, disconnected town. There's nothing to do here. It's not interesting. It's not cosmopolitan. It's not world class. That's just there. They come in, they work, they drive in their car by themselves, listen to the radio. They park in the garage, they go up into their tower, go down Stephen Avenue for lunch, go back in their tower, get back in their car, go into their garage, which is off of an alleyway, and that's their experience. Mm. So I know through the research that new Calgarians and those that live in inner city say this is an extremely vibrant, connected, fun, highly engaged city with lots of great food, culture, arts, sports, green spaces, and activities. Because those people are coming here and looking for it. They're not necessarily following the trap that the parents of the parents did.
Right.
So some of the categories that are really interesting to me, you know, that have changed significantly in the 25 years that I've been here, that whole food culture, that whole distilleries and breweries, all the, you know, we've got incredible galleries here. And one of the ones that's the most interesting to me is Esker. Mm. And many people aren't even aware of Esker, but it's winning accolades. It's got accolades globally. You know, places like Berlin and New York are saying this is an incredible contemporary art gallery. And it started because of one man, you know, and his wife, Jim Hill. And they took their contemporary art that they own personally and created, you know, at their own expense, created this gallery. But the local industry didn't really pay a lot of attention to them. They turned their backs on them to a degree, simply because you didn't hire local. You didn't, you know, they wanted a world class, and they did world class, and they've achieved that. Mm. So our culture is strong, but until you leave Calgary as a Calgarian, you don't believe it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
And it's a peculiar place in terms of whether you've been here or not, at least in Canada, people have an opinion about it.
Yep.
So I'm from Regina, and people, Regina, riders play there.
Sure.
Nice enough. People are there. There's weed around it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But people have an opinion, usually pretty strong, about Calgary. So we had a leadership training group I was involved with probably 10 years ago now. And about half of that cohort was from the GTA. So I ran a little experiment. It was a 6-day super intensive experience. And so day one, I said, everyone give me one word that you would define Calgary as in your experience showing up. So it was conservative, cowboy, redneck, oil, those kinds of things. And did the same exercise when they were sleep deprived and exhausted and had really immersed themselves in the Calgary region, the Calgary Regional Partnership, and managing all those governments across the region was their kind of case study. And I did the same thing and I heard inspiring, progressive, innovative. Absolutely. And then I asked them, do you remember what you said 6 days ago? And they were so tired, half of them didn't, but they kind of, the light bulb went off. And right. So it's an interesting place in that regard.
Our city is far ahead of many in the world in so many different ways. And yet we ourselves do not give ourselves credit for how far ahead we are.
You're listening to 360 Degree City. Today, I'm talking to Jim Button about the importance of purpose-driven companies, Calgary's changing culture, and how pubs and breweries can catalyze a community. Let's dive back in. So one of the other things I wanted to talk to you about is this in the planning world, they talk about these third spaces. So there's home and there's work, and these third spaces are really the places that are where civic life takes place. So that could be a library, that could be a pub, and those kinds of things. So as a beer purveyor, particularly the role of, you said, you know, beer is a social lubricant that makes things happen. What do you see the role and the potential for pubs and the like in cities and community, at the neighborhoods and community levels?
Yeah, not being a planner, I don't use the term third places.
That's good, because people places, would understand it.
Yeah, that's right. But the gathering places, right? You know, you go back to pub culture in the UK or almost anywhere else but North America.
Yeah.
And you realize how much that is family, how much that is community, that you know where people are, you go there after work, and it's just a natural, everybody know, you're all talking, you're discussing the civic challenges, you're solving problems, you are having fun, and it's a more relaxed environment, and shit gets done.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't. Somebody better start writing it down. But the value of, you know, and I have to make a distinction between brewery and brew pub, and you know, there's breweries that don't have gathering places.
Sure.
So this conversation is primarily about those that are going into locations and people are gathering, and that's where you've seen the growth around the world.
Yeah,
and the reason for that growth, and I just had a conversation with somebody, it's an accountant today that wants to become a brewery owner, super passionate, can't talk about anything else. And the conversation that I was having, I said, don't look at the model of brewery where you sell your beer into pubs and liquor stores. Start with the safe environment of being a community builder. Go into a community and be that place where everybody knows you, that place where everybody goes and they go for a beer to relax, or they go to meet somebody, or they go to get something done. You see it with coffee houses, you know. You go into a coffee house, half the people have their Macs folded up and they're doing work and they're meeting with people. Sales are happening, all those activities that happen in business are now happening in these third places. Well, breweries are those third places. And great article out of Regina today, written by, I believe, an urban planner that's out of the university. I could have that wrong, but talking about how breweries are having an impact in growing and resurrecting and enhancing local communities, small little communities. And if I was to start a brewery right now, that's what I would do. I'd go and find a really cool community, and I would probably live there, and I would set up a shop there, and I would be as meaningful to that community as I possibly could. And I think that's what's happening when you see breweries. They typically know what's going on in their neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
They typically know the neighbors.
Yeah, they're of the neighborhood.
They're of the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we'll track that down, that article down, and post it on the notes. That'll be interesting. Yeah, because like I say, that's my hometown, and so I bring my growlers when I go back to visit my family all the time now.
Oh, bravo.
Which I didn't before.
Well, my brother's at the university there, and he's the one that sent me the article, and so I've sent it back to him. I said, I'd love to actually have that conversation with her, because I would love somebody to actually create that document that shows the economic and cultural impact or civic impact that breweries are having on society.
Yeah.
Because they are placemakers.
Yeah.
They are those ones that go in first, and a lot of other things follow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so before we started recording, you were talking about the regulatory aspect of both your industry and your place. So that obviously influences where things can go in neighborhood, is that regulatory side. Can you maybe describe your process of how Village, the physical space of Village, came to be and those decisions that you made and were forced into?
Yeah, very different than what it is now. And, you know, I take pride in having long discussions with the provincial government in terms of the AGLC primarily, in terms of the rule they had back when we started was that you had to be able to brew 5,000 hectoliters, which is 500,000 liters, which is about 1.5 million bottles of beer. You had to have the infrastructure to do that because they wanted to control, it's back to the old days of command and control, and they wanted to control and didn't want to have to worry about these small breweries opening up and the risk that might come with that. And so they figured anybody that was going to invest $2 million would be legit.
Yep.
And they would have to do less babysitting. So we had lots of discussions on that, and it wasn't moving quickly, so we went ahead and built. Anyway, so we built a large brewery. The fact that we were ahead of everybody else enabled us to actually go out and sell into bars and restaurants, and the fact that we knew, we'd been in the industry between some of our partners, we knew almost every bar manager and owner in town, so it wasn't like we were selling, here, try our beer. They said, yeah, we'll just put it on.
Yeah.
You know, so we had that luxury.
Yeah.
And that, once that changed about a year and a half after we were built. So the big growth in the industry in Alberta and other jurisdictions was based on that change. The next interesting change, and there was a lot of other things that happened in terms of tax, et cetera, which we can get into if you want to later on, but keep it more into an urban planning kind of concept. The next real big change was a whole lot of meetings with the urban planners from the city around where you could build a brewery. So when we built it, you had to be an industrial. Mm-hmm. You could not be, and I don't know all the letters, the A's and the B's and all those things, but you had to be in light industrial. Mm. So we built ours into an industrial space. Now you can build it in communities. So you're looking at breweries like Cole Garden and Old Beautiful and Highline that are in Inglewood, right next to homes. And that was the next big change. So once you could do that, then all these, you could build small. So you could invest a couple $100,000 and you can build something in a neighborhood and open up a brew pub. And all of a sudden, you've got a pretty good revenue stream happening. So those are the two big things that changed. There's tons of other things just in terms of the natural change in understanding and the importance of consuming locally.
Right.
You know, I remember putting on an annual report back in, let's say 2005, 2006 or something like that. I had to write the annual report. And it was all around, the word of the year that year was locavore.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this is 11 years ago. Man, God, it had to be earlier than that. No, it's probably 2000. Anyway, the amount of people talking about the importance of consuming locally had hit threshold enough that it became the word of the year. And so knowing that and watching these regulatory changes that come along, those three big influences are what catapulted beer.
Yep.
But it's not just beer, you know. As you take a look at all the coffee shops, all the Analogs, sure, the Rossos, the Monograms, all those guys, the Phil and Sebastian's, all starting up here in Calgary. Mm-hmm. You needed enough mass to allow for that to happen. And then there's a generational change. There's a whole generation that is growing up understanding and believing and that's the why would it be any other way? Mm-hmm. But when I grew up, the movies were called Greed, you know, with Michael Douglas, and it was the McDonald's sign said 4 billion served. It was all about how big could you be, how global could you be, and how much money could you make.
Yeah.
So there's a whole generation that grew up with that, and those are the generations that are saying, my job is to crush. You know,
that's right.
All that changed. Yeah. So now there's a generation, which brings me full circle back to why I believe any company that doesn't have a purpose to their company beyond a product or a service is going to fall behind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there's a generation now that have been trained that that's how you pick your, you know, that cocoa bean was made by Juan, was you know, all the way down the food chain, you have to be able to explain where it all came from, you know, B Corps and all those types of measuring sticks are ubiquitous.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So how could you survive if you're not doing that? If you're big, cold, mean, heartless, money-grubbing sons of bitches, your time is up.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that actually is a good way to come full circle and wrap that up. Yeah. So we have one question we ask all our guests, and we wrap things up. So can you tell me about a city that you love and why you love it?
A city I love. So city, can't be a town, it can't be, you know, is there a...
We're pretty loose.
How loose are your rules on this final question?
We're extremely loose.
let's see, a few
guests ago, I allowed two because she was an anthropologist, so she chose a city from like 5,000 years ago in present day. So we're, you know,
my brain is not that wired. This is going to... Beechburg.
Where's that?
Beechburg is in Ontario. I used to be a whitewater rafting guide, and that was the town next to the closest town. And we'd go in for, we get Tuesdays off, and that's where we go drink.
Nice.
So I feel that's a shitty answer. I need a better answer. I got Copenhagen because...
that's good. Yeah, that's what was the name of the place that you'd go drink? Or you just get some from the beer store?
Oh, I started with an R. It was Rafters. I think it was Rafters.
Rafters. All right.
I think. Yeah, it's hard to remember those days.
Beechburg. All right.
Yeah.
Jim often says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. His perspectives on purpose-driven and collaboration-focused businesses are really inspiring, and we're churning on how we can take Jim's lead and increase our own impact in our community through our business. If your community has a brewery that's meaningful to you and your neighbors, we'd love to hear about it. Email hello@360degree.city or get in touch on social media. Tell me more about your favorite brewery and how it contributes to your community. 360 Degree City is created by the team at Intelligent Futures. To learn more about the work we do, you can go to intelligentfutures.ca. The music in this episode and in all our episodes is by Sound of Picture. If you like the podcast, please share it with someone that might be interested in seeing their own city from a different angle. We would love it if you subscribed and reviewed the podcast, and would love to hear your feedback. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics that you'd like us to cover, get in touch with us on our website or any of our social accounts. I'm John Lewis. Thanks for stopping by.